Welcome back to another episode of A Walk Back to Self-Love. On this episode, I have my friend Zoe joining me again, and we're going for it. We're setting the mood, we're setting the tone, and we're going to discuss the power of sex. Oof, getting vulnerable. So, grab a glass of wine, grab some water, do what you got to do, and I hope that you can grab some gems of wisdom and apply it to your own personal life. Enjoy. Hello.
What's poppin'?
Hey, how are you?
Man, I'm blessed and beautiful. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. Enjoying the day.
That's what I'm talking about. Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday. I have to say the build-up to this episode is quite like a build-up of an encounter that you know is going down.
I know, right? I was like, is she really going to hit me with this topic?
Do you feel comfortable first and foremost?
Man, I do. I want to hear a little bit more of details behind what is your definition of this conversation. Like,
Like, this isn't going to be like a Q&A for Zoe. Okay. And first of all, before we dive into it, Zoe and I have been friends for, I don't know, like 5-6 years, would you say now?
Definitely.
Yeah, like a decade. Yeah. And so we really connected and have talked a lot about, you know, striving for your goals, positivity, mindset, things like that. But I don't think you and I have really dove into the sexual conversations as friends yet. Like a little here and there, like little comments, and like we've gone on trips with friends, you know, like Chicago, and you know, so we've had some experiences out for drinks, but I don't think we've ever actually like hashed it out like about sex and the power of it. So of course earlier today I had to smoke my way a little bit into the land of euphoria, because isn't that what sex is? Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. I set the tone in the space I'm in right now, like put my mind, like, let's talk about this. When you know someone's about to come over, when you know the act is going down this evening, how do you prepare?
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you.
Exactly. Like, I'm a woman, you're a man, but yet it's that energy. It's that, yeah, I'm going to have and I have to laugh because my tea message this evening, because I have a tea, it's called Sweet and Spicy, very, very aligned. It said, life may not be the party we hoped for, but while we're here, we should dance. And I thought, what's a better dance than sex?
Damn, that's deep.
I'm using that cake for my tea bag.
Yo, wow. I like that. Can you read that one more time?
For me? Yep. Yes. Yep. Hold on. Let me put my mug down. Okay. It says, life may not be the party we hoped for, but while we're here, we should dance.
I like that.
Mm-hmm, right? And also, there's a lot. There's a big intro here. I've really been thinking about this all day today. I was out in nature. I went on my first Segway tour. Like, I'm opened up like a lotus. So it's also, today I read, is the new moon in Gemini, which, quote, bringing in new wave of spontaneity, curiosity, and adventure just in time for summer. Isn't that good? Then my mind, the way it works, goes a little deeper. And I think about summer is the season for fun and charged endorphins for sex, correct?
Oh, definitely. Spring and summer, that's where all the babies get started.
Yeah, people are half naked. Well, men could be half naked. Like if you're in the beach area. But usually it's
nudist.
Yeah, or if you're at a nudist colony, you know, I mean, then you're just letting it all be out in nature. but usually, let's hear from a man's perspective.
in summer when you see a beautiful woman or someone that you are just drawn to energetically, and you see her in like a really beautiful dress or just like being low key, does that enhance your attraction to her?
I mean, you know, I live in Florida now, so it's summer all year. I'm just being honest.
True.
That's a loaded question. I really would want to know what age and era of my life am I answering this question.
You know, it's funny because I was gonna bring that up too, because you're in a different chapter of your life.
Exactly.
But I think just in general, like you can even reflect back to when you were in that primal, right? Would that be the correct word?
Yes, man. I mean, you know, I was I'm a different, well, I'm a guy, but definitely alpha male. I like to say, I don't like to use that term too much, but I was a wolf, man. You know, it was time to sink your teeth in something juicy in the summer. I mean, and that's the time where after winter, you know, going into spring, I'm breaking up with girlfriends. You ain't no sense of cheating. You know what I mean? Like, let's go out here and do what I'm gonna do, you know,
Right.
and don't feel no remorse and guilty about it. I feel like, oh, you gonna get it, you gonna get it, you gonna get
Oh
it.
my God. Well, then that answers one of the questions I was going to ask you. Are you more on the quote safe side of sex, or do you enjoy dabbling in the more lustful side of sex?
Yeah, man. As a young man. With no guidance, you know, your hormones just really lead you. And, you know, if you grow as a man, you start respecting your body and a woman's body a lot more differently. Because, you know, I mean, not only is there STDs and things like that out there, but there's sex, spiritual transmitted demons that you can give to each other. And I'm just like, fuck.
You know, we are so aligned, because that was going to be one of my questions that we discussed tonight too.
Dang,
I know we are on the same wave, let me
yo,
tell you.
let's do this. It's about to be juicy tonight.
And it's so funny because I said to myself, I don't have any pressure or expectations of how this episode will play out, because I think it's going to just organically be what it is, and it's going to be perfect. But I have the intentions that it's a safe space for us to share and laugh and be insightful and mature about, but also vulnerable if we choose to step in that way, in that part of the dance, to talk a little deeper about our own experiences. But one of the questions I had for you was, do you believe when laying down in the sheets, you're rolling around with energies that that person slept with?
Definitely, like it's transferred from others.
Yes.
Yes, I strongly believe that, you know, and a lot of times you don't ever think about that. You know, you're just so enamored by, at least I'm speaking from a male's perspective, a woman's beauty and conquering her. You know what I'm saying? Like, as a man, you know, with the society of the music that we have today, the entertainment, it's all sexualized. So, like, a male without good guidance from a higher king or a good father, you just kind of get misled and guided in how you know, look at women. You know, we kind of view them as sex objects a lot of times. And it's when you in those moments, you're not thinking about it, you're oblivious to it because, like I said earlier, you're so enamored by this woman's beauty and you want to conquer her because. The most precious thing about a woman is what's in between her legs. You know what I'm saying? So,
And I just want to say that's a perspective I believe from both sides, from a man and a woman. Like,
know,
you know, you got what you got in between your legs, and a man is going to do a lot of things to get to that goal.
it ain't the thing in between because I like to challenge shit. I gotta disagree with you with that. Like the woman's thing is a lot more potent and powerful than a man's jewel in between his legs. You know what I'm saying? Like we pollinate. Y'all give life.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like the actual power exchange. Like, that's why I'm labeling this episode with us the power of sex, because it's a powerful exchange. Right. Like, can you really think back to the moment that you realized the power of sex?
Oh, that's a loaded question. Like, give me more of like your perspective of power of sex. Because it's loaded. It's a lot of different angles we can go with that.
Yeah, of course. But I mean, I think you could say the dynamic between, if we are specifically talking about a man and a woman here. I mean, it could be any, you know, sexual orientation. But when a man, and I want your perspective on this, of course, when a man gets the lotus, there's now a whole different exchange of power.
I agree. You talking about her being dickmatized?
yeah, most definitely.
Yeah. I had that gift, you know, if I wanted to do that to a woman. It's always good, though, you know what I'm saying? Because there's men out here that misuse that power.
You know? Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Not every man can dickmatize a woman, and not every woman can, you know what I'm saying, do that to a male. You know, every woman thinks she got that wet, or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so every dude think he's swinging and can, you know, dickmatize a woman. This is not true. You those of us that are able to, we know the power, as you would say, behind this, and it can be detrimental to some. You can ruin a woman's life.
Thank you, Zoe. Fucking thank you, because that was one of the thoughts that I had when I was in my smoke land of euphoria. Is that sex can be light and sexy, yet dark and steamy.
It can be dark and steamy.
And I'm not talking about, like, you know, even like the charged up good lust. I'm talking about it can ruin your fucking life.
Yeah.
And you can unravel from the inside out if you are not careful. And if that man is manipulative, right, and knows that he laid it down on you so good that it's now in your head and it's kind of making you go crazy. Oh, and you know,
I just want to apologize to any woman that I dickmatized and I didn't do you right.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I like that you are taking accountability.
Don't start there, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I definitely have been dickmatized. I will be the first to tell you that. I was having this conversation yesterday. Friend and I went to Montreal, and we were in the car, we were riding, and her and I were talking, and I said, you know, there have been plenty of times that friends of mine, like, don't mess with this guy. He's bad for you. He's this, he's that. I'm like, listen, like, I know, but I also know what I like too. And the sex happens to be phenomenal, so I have needs. And then again, you betray yourself because you think, oh, I just need to get laid. It's going to feel good to have sex. But then it's that exchange of power. Right. And if he's not someone in his mature higher self energy, then it could be a vicious cycle.
Yes. I'm glad you held yourself accountable with that.
Oh, yeah.
Just need to get, because it's really the woman's fault, too. You know, it's both parties' fault.
Of course.
If the guy is being manipulative, you know, and he knows what he's doing with that woman. At the same time, that woman, you know, she needs to know her boundaries within herself. It's like, if I was a toxic dude, I'd be like, hey, man, my fault. You know, like, control it, girl. Like, you can say no.
Do you know that, like, the toxic men that I've been with have said that to me when we've been in arguments, and I get actually, I've in the past had got even more angry, but not, I mean, of course, at him in the moment, but more so at myself, because he was fucking right. You know, it's like I couldn't control my urges and say, no, don't come over, don't walk through my door. And then, you know, so it's like, damn.
Because that's a transfer of power right there, because really, you gave your power up. You relinquished man at that moment, and then you gave him power to be accessible of being dickmatized when you had the power at the beginning. You know what I'm saying? Well, you get it.
We did, yeah. And this is where kind of dips into the episode we did last time, when it talks about, or when you were talking about, knowing the type of person that you want to attract in your life. If you know you're looking for a husband, you're going to step into that energy. You're going to completely own your power and you're going to hold on until you find that husband. Yeah. But if you are focused on your career, if you're focused on making money, if you don't want to be married, but you want to have a good time, sometimes you're going to attract some dogs.
Yeah, you got to take what comes with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's really, it's, and that's why I said it, it's the power of sex, because there's so many layers to it. Can you think of another layer of that, of power of sex, outside of what I described?
Well, right now we're definitely in the dark side of it, you know, with the manipulation. And I guess we spoke more about the male side. I can talk about a little bit more, but while we're on that segment of it, what's a little bit of the toxicity of a woman's manipulation with pussy power?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, because, you know, it's like, you know what? I'm since I said we're going to be vulnerable, and you know, I would say for me, and obviously the men that I've dealt with could confirm or, you know, deny it. But I would say that I never consciously, I don't believe, tried to use my vagina as a manipulation tool. I think I was just so excited and like that, ooh, I want to have sex and oh, this is good. And I like having sex with this person. So I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep putting my hand on the stove. I'm going to keep going in for a hit, you know, and on this drug that I just am addicted to. And then it's going to fuck with my head and I'm going to like unravel from the inside out, because this person's energy in my life is so manipulative and he knows that what he's doing and how he can get the power of what's in between my legs. And I allow it, that I become emotionally unhinged. And I've done that in the past, where it's like obsessing over that person inwardly. They may not necessarily have known that, but then like the texts go out, then the like, why you do this shit and blah, blah, blah. But then you get mad at him. But really, that anger needs to be generated towards myself.
Damn, girl, I'm praising you right now. I love a person that can hold themselves accountable.
So it's like, I know, like, the paragraphs of text that I have sent men in the past that no, I... I could tell you the amount of times they have had the, like, borderline, is she bipolar? Like, what the fuck? Like, I'm taking full accountability, because it's like, because you know you shouldn't be doing it. That's what I believe the root of it was for me. I knew I shouldn't be messing with this guy or this guy, but it's just like, it's like candy, you just want some, and I know it's gonna fuck with my head, but I'm gonna do it anyways because it's gonna feel good. And I like male energy, I like that dance, I like that companionship, but it's got to be with a healthy man. It has to be, or woman, or, you know, whatever. But so that's more my accountability and admission in that area, is I knew I shouldn't have done it, and I knew I was gonna fall apart from the inside out. And even though I don't want a relationship, somewhere you get like that mind fuckery, because you're like, wait a minute, why am I fighting with him when I don't even want to be in a committed relationship with him? Because the sex got you digmatized.
Mm-hmm. Was it worth it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Me with the cereal. Mm-hmm.
It really, every time.
All right. So let me ask you a question while we talk about the toxicity of being victimized, especially hearing this from a male, because you're someone that you are in a mature place where you are holding yourself accountable and doing the collection. Do you think it's right for some of these women to, when they're in a state, to bash these men? Even though you might get your feelings hurt, but we telling y'all, like, yo, like, it is what it is, you know, you can say no. But you guys are out here trying to make us look like we're the bad guy. Now, don't get me wrong, some of them are truly toxic and bad, but you gotta put yourself in that situation. 100% agree.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I think that it's always easy to bash the male in the scenario because you're the man. Like, right. That's just, I think that has been the mindset in society for the longest time, is that it's the man's fault because we're women. But we also, and don't get me wrong, there are situations that we didn't ask for it as women, you know, and then you don't respect a woman's boundary or when she says no, like, and then you have those discussions of rape and sexual assault or sexual harassment and all those dirty layers to it. But I think if you are adult consensuating that, yes, I want this to go down tonight, I want to have sex with you, but then you turn around and you don't like the outcome, then you bash him. You have to take some accountability, because especially when a man is being direct and is being mature by telling you, listen, we can have some fun tonight, but it ain't going to go any further than when we link up and have fun or watch a movie and have sex, but like, I'm not looking to get into a serious commitment with you. If you still get mad at that man, then that's on you.
Or continue to entertain it.
Mm-hmm. And that's just from my own experience, from friends, from other female friends of mine, and like having, you know, girl talk and all that stuff. We have to take accountability. But if a man is lying to you and saying, no, I really want to be with you, I just gotta, like, let me tell you, man, I'm like a loose cannon tonight. I have a lot of information on this topic from self-experience. So, I think when a man straight up lies to you and tells you he wants to go this direction with you or wants to be with you, but he needs to work on himself, he needs time, but then has a whole on other committed relationship that you don't know about, then that's some fucking mental shit that's going on that you have a right to be pissed. That you have a right to be pissed because you were like, wow, I didn't even know she existed. I didn't even know she existed.
Okay. I give you that.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah. So.
But if you did know she existed, because that's a different scenario, I'm assuming. But you shouldn't feel any other type of way, though, right?
Well, this is where the conversation could turn a little bit, and we start talking about open relationships.
Oh, you're right. And
so we'll table that. So try not to forget that.
Different podcast.
Yep, different podcast. Because then if everybody's in agreeance and openly knowing of each other, then that's a whole separate conversation. But if you straight up lie to a man or a woman that you are leading them on and playing them, thinking like, oh yeah, we're going to be something, then you find out that that's not the case, then that's manipulation. That's the shadow side of sex. Mm-hmm.
Man, you know what's crazy? I don't like to blame. It's all stemmed back from man, you know what I'm saying? But I realized throughout these years, because men and women are really evolving to different beings right now where we're at in society. Would you agree with that?
I do. I'm still stuck in between, though.
Definitely. This modern day woman that's evolving right now, and the man is trying to adjust and figure out, you know, his place in the relationship with the woman. But we have at least about 3 or 4 different generations of single home parenting where these males are being raised by women. So we're blaming all these young men or these men for all these, you know, behaviors and characteristics, but we fail to realize that I'm pretty sure a lot of these young dudes seen their mothers go through stuff like this or manipulate a man or whatever. So they're learning these behaviors from somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Because I always feel like, and I don't like to be sexist, because people are people. It really doesn't matter. But women are like cats to me, man. And I think they're the best cheaters. Men are just, we suck at it. We get sloppy. We get greedy. And, you know, men just get caught easier. But women are some of the best cheaters. And I feel like some of these young boys, the women that maybe have not been such great mothers, they seen the dads. Or not the dads, I'm sorry, definitely not the dads, but men revolve in their mother's lives. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
guys, maybe they start dating this guy and this and that, et cetera. Then maybe they hear these conversations of, you know, this toxicity, and those are programs to this young boy. And, you know, we don't know how this affects young men to grow into men. Now they become toxic men. And that is how they learn how to deal with these women at times. They become master manipulators and liars. You get what I'm saying? Because he sees his mom, you know, this guy's buying her the groceries, this and that. She's effing this guy. And then this guy is whatever in her life. I don't know about you. I've seen these relationships, though.
Yeah.
So, you know, we forget what that does to the psyche of a young man. And then now we have such strong women that are raising these men. And now the women, on the flip side, these girls are seeing this with the mothers. So, like, the women don't even know how to treat men. Let me stop, because I know we're talking about sex.
You know, it's funny. I was just sitting here. I was like, man, we are so mature. You know, like, but that's good, though. It's good. It's a healthy way of being out in society in this category, which is sex / dating romantic relationships.
Right.
So I totally agree with you. And I think, no, I know, and so does many people out there, including you, that our foundational years of who we become as adults are in our childhood.
Definitely.
So if you're around parents who are volatile to each other, or if you grew up in a single parent home, and let's say your parent figure, you know, was out there, was bringing different men home or bringing different women home, and you're seeing all this constant change of people in your life, you start, like, or having babies and maybe different, you know, mothers and stuff, like all those different dynamics, you are taking that on and maybe repeating the cycle. Or if you see that your mom is manipulating your dad or their boyfriends or girlfriends, then you may take on that characteristic and think, well, that's how I got to get a man, or that's how I got to get shit done, is I got to manipulate them and play with them. So it's like all of it is really foundational years of your childhood.
Man, you said we're gonna be vulnerable tonight, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, man. I'm gonna be vulnerable with you. You know, because this is going into the childhood stuff, and I'm sure there's a lot of men out here that had similar experiences. Just don't talk about it. You know, like, I was sexually abused as a child, and we're not from males and females, but I'm gonna talk about the female part of it. You know, and I had older females that when I was a kid, they would practice on me so they wouldn't feel like virgins. I didn't know what the hell they was doing, though. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't even have pubic hair. You know?
Wow. Wow.
And these teenage girls would use me as practice for guys around their age so they wouldn't feel like they didn't know what they were doing. You know what I'm saying? Kind of without truly losing their virginity, because I'm sure, you know, my little pinky penis didn't do anything at the time.
But still, that had to have been traumatizing.
Yo, was it? Because it gave me a different perspective of women, you know, because like being molested by males traumatized me in a certain type of way, and then being molested by females traumatized me in a different type of way. You know, it's like with the male stuff, it's like it made me conflicted with sex in the weird way of like, yo, what the fuck? Like, I know this ain't, like, I don't understand. Like, I don't know. I know this is not right, whatever. But then when I was molested by women, I realized, like, okay, I do like this, though. But I don't think this is right. But I do like this more. So I definitely knew at a young age, like, okay, dude, you like girls, though. You can't help that, you know, that same sex was forced upon you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But though they were two different traumatizing situations in my life, but the female part of being used as a sex object as a young boy did nothing but wire my brain in a certain type of way to view sex as like, I was disconnected spiritually for a long time and connected with sex. It was almost like porn type sex for me. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't, mm-hmm. For a long period of time in my life. It was like an act and numbing, and it's just like, wow. I wonder how many other males have experienced something like that, and what did it do to them psychologically, and how did it affect them with relationships? Just I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean,
Well, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
no, you're good. Go ahead.
I just want to say, first of all, thank you for sharing that. You know, something very vulnerable and very traumatizing in multiple ways, and then sharing it on this episode. So I don't take that for granted. So I just wanted to say
No.
that. And I'm sure it did affect you in your relationships. And I think even if you weren't consciously affected by it, it's stored within you in your mind. And I think a lot of people who have had similar experiences like you just described, it maybe affected them even deeper, you know, like because there is so much shadow side to sex, as we see, like the dark web, or you know, whether you like or don't like porn, you either like it and you use it as like a, you know, a mood setter or whatever, or you're completely against it and you think it's evil and disgusting, whatever. There's the duality to porn. Then you go out onto social media and then all the Me Too movement and then what men face, because men get objectified just as much as women do.
Definitely. They not all of us though. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I mean, not all, because I
Most of
mean, but also some men like it, right?
Yes.
Just like not every woman is completely horrified by getting flirted with, or if someone was like, "Hey, you look gorgeous." You know, you're not like, "Psh, I'm scared," or, you know, you may laugh it off. It's if they continue to harass you or they take it to the extreme, then you're like, "Whoa, slow down." Like it was funny in the beginning, or it was cute in the beginning, but like read body language. You
Yes.
know, if I was interested, you would know. You don't have to follow me, you know,
Yeah.
down the street and start getting into creeper mode. Like, relax,
You
relax.
man, I admire a woman that can set boundaries that's attractive in society and knows she's attractive, but she doesn't want to be, that's not the first thing she wants the opposite sex to appreciate about her.
Okay, I have a funny story.
Go
So
ahead.
last weekend there was this, I mean, the city was like booming with energy and people were here. It was Jazz Fest in Burlington. So
Okay.
like, and it was a gorgeous weekend. It was hot, the sun was out, music, people are smoking, drinking, food trucks are out. Like it was a whole vibe in the city.
All
So I was seeing like some very attractive people. I was like, okay, wait a minute. Like everybody's out. Like we're all out having a good time. So I'm walking down the street and there was three guys and they started like, you know, making little comments to me. And I had to laugh because I don't think he was ready for this. He was like, "Hey, are you married?" And I laughed and he's like, "Are you?" And I stopped. I turned around. I said, "I don't believe in marriage." And
Ooh.
I don't think he was ready for that because he had like a little long pause. And then he was like, "Well, do you have a boyfriend?" But because most, I think, I don't know, I'm just so direct with it. Like, I don't mind if you throw me a compliment, but like, if you take it to the extreme, just who I am now in my life, like present day woman, no. Like, you know, I just always tell myself if something happens, like where you feel unsafe, you know mentally where you're at and what you got to do to fight like hell to get out of that situation.
Definitely, man.
So when a man shouts at me or maybe like does a little catcalling or whatever, I don't immediately get into fear mode. I get into an annoyance mode.
I
I'm
like.
like, if I'm not in that space to take it and receive it, like, "Well, thank you." Then I'm like, "Oh, come on, man. Like, really? I'm not in that. Like, I don't want to have to be like, no, thank you, okay." Because then you know, like you, but I'm an energy reader. I can usually feel someone's energy. It's one thing if they're like, "Oh, you look beautiful tonight." Then you know, boom, that's it. But then it's like they got to keep going.
Right,
And then
move
it's like,
on.
oh,
Yo, lie. Like, if I had children, Amber, I would want daughters, you know, because I would want them to think like that and to be in society with that type of mentality, especially towards males, you know, because I was that type of male early in my life, unconsciously, but it's like I would want to mentally prepare her and protect her from men. And you don't need validation from the opposite sex to know that you're beautiful, this, that, etc. You know, whatever you're looking for, like you said, with the energy, you're gonna attract it, you know. And I think it's such a powerful thing, especially women to today. It's like, yo, you gotta watch these dudes out here outside of the DMs on social media, but we are in the age of predators. Like, people, like you just said, we really don't believe in marriage, and we are in the hookup culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So unless you out here just trying to like date, which dating now is hooking up typically, you know, that's why when a person like, oh, I'm just dating, what does that look like? You know what I'm saying? Like,
right. Define that, please.
How many dudes are slamming you a week? You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I know. You got to ask those questions nowadays. So like with females, especially career driven women, you know, they need to know how to deflect this. Like what you were saying, is shut this down, because when you know the psyche of males, you know that if you let it, those little, oh, I'm just being friendly shit. A lot of dudes, especially if they get that little attention, they're going to take it there. You get, especially mm-hmm. if they're talking to you like that. And if you don't know your beauty power enough and your scale of in society of how it affects the opposite sex, you're going to be put in these situations all the time. Now you, like you said earlier, now you're annoyed. You're like, oh my God, this guy won't go away. Oh my God. Didn't nobody tell you give your number to him? Didn't nobody tell you to do this? Didn't nobody tell you to do that? Why did you do it? What you thought was going to happen, girl? You ain't 16.
Right.
What you thought was going to happen?
Like, yeah, it's true. You know what's funny is I would say in the last, I want to say like last couple years maybe, but I won't give my number out. I'll usually take his number.
And that's how it should be.
You know, because unless I am completely that, no,
I hate when girls do that. Because now you have the power. You know what I'm saying? I'm a salesperson. You know, I know she ain't gonna call me unless I break up with somebody and she might remember me. I'm like, otherwise, like, oh, that's a lost cause. I don't know. I'm not even giving you my number.
But that's what I was gonna say. Unless I'm completely drawn to you, or I'm like, oh no, I want him to call me. You know, like I think. But two, it also boils down to trust. If you don't trust one in yourself or trust people, if you have some like trust issues, I think that plays a part in it too, with the exchange of numbers when you're out in public spaces. And like for me, like a friend of mine, he laughs at me, but he tries to like, well, you know, when you're ready or whatever, but I'm not on social media. I don't have a Facebook page. I don't have an Instagram page. I have a non-active LinkedIn page, and I don't not have them because I'm hiding something or I have a secret life. I'm not on social media because I loathe it. So if someone tries to look me up, well, first of all, if you type in my name, what's going to pop up? The fucking podcast. You can hit images because I've Googled my name. You can hit images and you see my face. So it's not a complete off the grid, but I just don't have those. So I think that could potentially be a red flag in the dating world of like, well, why don't you have social media pages? Everybody's got social media. Well, I don't. And I can tell you why. But I think that it could also go on the flip side. I think people could purposely not have it to hide things because they think they can.
Man. Yo, this is tricky. I'm going to say this. How many true high-level men, whatever you want to call that shit, or billionaires, whatever, do you see their wives all over social media?
Mm-hmm.
You don't, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. No. And why don't you see their wives out there like that? Why do you think?
Why do I think?
Yeah, yeah.
That you I don't think realize. Okay, and this is what I would believe if we're talking about good intentions.
No, for sure. I'm listening.
Okay. I would say if it's a high value man or someone that's all about their business or their career life, and all you see is that, and you think, are they single? Are they in a relationship? I think they're trying to protect their relationship from social media and from like the shadow side of people who want to sleep with you or mess up your relationship, or they're jealous or exes from the past or whatever it may be. So I think it's a level of sanctuary with your relationship.
Yes. I love that. You know, because it's all different sides of it. So like, cause I love what you just said. Cause like for me, you know, I would feel the same way. Like, I don't want, unless you got like a business or you're trying to inspire people, you're using your platform in a way where maybe you can, like I said, inspire somebody or monetize it. Otherwise, like, who are you trying to entertain? Mm-hmm. Because we all know what it's like. You know what I'm saying? Like, as soon as you get mad, whatever, them dudes in your DMs, this, that, et cetera. And it's too accessible now. You know, and for women, you know, it's like, it's a rocky, toxic thing, I feel. You know, on how she utilizes that platform. And a lot of women aren't business savvy type women like that, that have that separation within their mindset of when they're doing certain things. You know, a lot of women, not saying that, I won't speak for women like that, but I feel like a lot of women are mostly driven off their feelings to a certain degree. You know what I'm saying? She's feeling down one day. It's easy for her to get validated by a text message of some random dude that is sexually desiring her.
Mm-hmm. Or social media likes.
Yeah, that's what, that's what I mean.
You know, post a selfie, post a full body going out.
Yes.
You know, feeling good. You know, what'd you say?
I'm like, who are you getting cute for?
You know, I used to, you know, I used to have, like, I would show up places like in work environments or like, I don't know, whatever, random thing. And I'd have people say, well, who are you getting all dressed up for? Myself. Like, I'm not trying. I just like to feel good. But that's also, and I'm going to kick it back to the zodiac sign. That's also a Taurus thing. We like earthly pleasures. We like to look good, feel good, the finer things in life, all that stuff. And it doesn't have to be like super, super expensive, but I just like to look good. I take pride in my appearance when I go out, even on a Sunday. I make sure like in my sporty casual look, it still looks like I can pick somebody up if I wanted to.
I agree with you 100%, but we know the difference between when a woman is projecting herself and on the social media platforms as like, look at me type energy or validate me. Give me these likes. Tell me I'm pretty. Tell me whatever. You get what I'm saying?
I used to live my, okay. So we're going to, vulnerability is what I had set the intention of. Sex has been a major part of my adult life. It really has. And I don't think, I know for a fact, a lot of people don't know that about me unless you were in those chapters.
Okay.
But when I broke up with my high school boyfriend, man, I went nuts.
Went on a hoe spree?
I did. I was very much on a hoe spree.
How old were you?
21.
Oh, girl, that's understandable. I ain't trying to justify it, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
But this goes back to those foundational years and how your childhood affects it, because I had a really, really toxic, tumultuous relationship with one of my parents. I was seeking validation because I was broken down so much by them that I didn't tap into that. It's weird. This is where my spirituality beliefs, I think, started to kick in, which I realized years later, is that I was good in high school. I was almost like a prude. Like, I did not lose my virginity till I was almost 18. I did not have my first boyfriend and first kiss until I was a freshman in high school. But it was when I felt this urge building in me where I was like finding other men attractive. And I'm like, there's no way I want to marry this guy. Like, there's a whole world out there. Plus, I was ready to start building that vision of what I wanted, my dreams and stuff. I was like, I don't want to be married to this guy for the rest of my life. I don't. And I literally swear to God had said this to myself. I'm like, I don't want to just be with one penis for the rest of my life at the age of 20. So I made that choice. I want to try them all. What?
I said, I want to try them all.
Oh, my God. So listen, it gets better. So right as this was building, well, plus it started to unfold that the time I think kicked in my path of karma, maybe you want to say, where I went on that spree and I started to tap into the dark side of myself, that dark side that formed as a child. And I thought about this today too. If you are a dark child that has a very dark soul, or you're very deep, or you have a lot of pain and, like, you know, all inside, how does that manifest as an adult? Oh, mm-hmm. you learn to have fun with that shit and sex, you know, if you don't know how to control it. So I started to seek validation through sex. Like, I could tell you, Zoe, I could tell you, like many other women and men that have experienced similar, the amount of disrespect that has come with sex and me. Like, there was a time when I was like 21, 22, somewhere in there, where after a dude and I had sex, he got up and walked out and started like hanging out in the area because he had roommates, and completely just did not acknowledge me. Walked past him. He's like, put his hand up like, bye. Like the epitome of like the walk of shame. And that's just a layer to it. Aww. Then you don't talk about, you know, when you get into knowledge of maybe them being married, or, you know, like, so there's been a lot of shadow side attached to me sexually. And it's been like very, very heavy in my early 20s. Was all about having sex to feel good, having sex to feel like I was worthy, that I was pretty, that I was thin, that I was all of these things, that I was, you know, worth it, or whatever I told myself. And then I've really, so that in itself, I've had to really dive deep and do that self-love. So when I created this podcast and I talk about self-love all the time, or when I had social media and I would talk about it, I know why I was talking about it, because I was finding validation through sex.
Thank you for sharing that, girl. Ooh, you made me feel a lot of emotions through that story.
Yeah, like friends of mine that I had in former chapters, they were like, what's going on with you? I'm like, oh, I'm good. I'm just out here having fun.
Wow.
Wow. And you know how they say that phrase, curiosity killed the cat?
Definitely.
I think that's a bad phrase. And I think people like... you know what I mean? Because I think it stops somebody from being curious. Like, we could even talk about this, which is controversial in society, and maybe this is not the episode, but if your curiosity leads you places, it may lead you outside of your sexual orientation, your culture, your race, your religion, you know, like, because you're like, wow, we both find each other attractive. Is it going to be down the aisle to marriage, or is it just going to be fun? But you're going to explore your sexuality with other people and with yourself.
Wow. Man, that's deep. Oh my God.
But then you're told, well, you can't do that. You're not supposed to do that. That's wrong.
Right.
But you can't stop two people that crave each other, or their souls want each other, or whatever.
I agree. Oh my God, it's so juicy. I'm just, like, low key, you know, I just been reflecting a lot myself, just thinking about my past, the young boy I was growing up, you know, throughout that journey, and at moments being the guy that you talked about. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And, you know, having friends like you in my life, and other females like yourself that, you know, we were willing to be vulnerable with each other and just really like share our past dark sides, or not. And I can't do nothing but reflect back and think at times of like, dang, I remember when I did a girl like that. Mm-hmm. Or whatever, like, I wouldn't think about how she felt in the moment. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking about the next chick or whatever, you know, right. Not thinking about what she's dealing with at that time, you know? And it's just like, damn, dude, like, wow, bro. Damn, I'm sorry. And thank you for sharing. You know, it's like, I had to forgive myself and, you know, ask the universe, you know, for forgiveness, you know what I'm saying? And just even apologize to those type of women. Yeah. Though, like what you said, we both were in toxic states, you know, because we don't even know if the men, you know, have evolved into like where I'm at today or some of the women. And I wanted to talk to you about that as well, that went through what those whole phase eras in their lives, of like what the reflection looks like for them, because there's nothing more attractive, and no disrespect to these women, after a certain age, I'm sorry, ladies, you can't be out here like that. Like, it's not, you know what I mean? Like,
I know, but there are going to be some women that will be like, oh, fuck him. Like, oh, what? I could be out here any age.
Oh, yo, we're going to smash you. We're going to, yo, I'm not telling you not to do it like that, but I'm just letting you know what it comes with. You know what I'm saying? Like, have some self-respect, because after a while, it's almost a blessing and curse that, like, not saying it's a good thing like that, but like that you experienced a whole phase like that at such a young age. Being able to understand the darkness of it and the loss of power and, you know, all that good jazz. And, you know, now the choice is yours of how you want to navigate yourself as a woman throughout the world. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. And mind you, yeah, it started when I was living in Michigan, which is my home state. But when I turned 21, for the first time ever as an adult on my own, I moved out. I was a late bloomer. I think it was just more comfort of staying at home and knowing that it was acceptable because, well, the bar was set so low for me that I wouldn't be successful. So it was like, ah, fuck it. Amber's just going to stay at home with, you know, mom and dad, whatever. But when I turned 21, my first apartment living on my own was in Vegas. So I moved to Sin City, and as I was already unraveling inside with my shadow side and the wound, the unworthiness wound, I fucking moved to Vegas, and it was like, bright lights, big city, here we go, roll that dice. And I that was my biggest hoe phase. Well, I think when I lost everything and I moved back to Michigan, then there was a deeper wound. So I was like I doubled down and moved home and had like a double unworthiness wound. So then it was like, whoo, whole phase, like on steroids. Dang. Because I felt unworthy and I felt like a piece of shit inside because I just didn't make Vegas. Like, it was a shit show, you know? And then there were other things going on and stuff. But so I think, looking back, I'm glad that I had those stages of my life. I've learned a lot, and it was fun at the time. It was fun. I mean, yeah, it doesn't have to be all doom and gloom. That shit was fun at the time.
Hey, for sure. Hey, I hear that. Hey, I don't care what nobody say. Those dark moments, we're mature now. But those dark moments in my life, I don't care what nobody say. I had a blast. Right. Hey, I can't wait to read your book though, girl. Oh my god,
there's so many stories. There really is. And I'm grateful that I never brought a child into that because I was not right with myself. But let me tell you, even in my double whammy hoe phase, I still was making sure I would lecture men because I was stupid and not always reaching for the condom. Like, you know, him and I were not reaching, like, we got to be safe. So there were times that I was not smart, but I always made sure, don't you dare fucking get me pregnant. And there would be like a lecture. I don't care. I can pause that heat of the moment to remind you I got goals. Don't fucking trap me. Don't fucking trap me, motherfucker. And I would say this, and like early on, I was like, no. Oh,
you was a smart hoe, huh?
Smart and stupid. But yeah, no, I would lecture. I'm like, don't you dare think you're going to put a baby in me.
Oh my gosh. Well, good for you. Well, let me ask you a question. Like, if you were to talk to young women right now, like, what would your message be about that?
About what?
Like, possibly going into a whole phase or You know what I'm saying? Like, would you encourage it? Would you just be like, be mindful?
I would say, as now officially a 40-year-old woman, I am completely comfortable in my sexuality. I am completely comfortable with what I talk about, how I describe sex, how I feel about sex, my chapters of hoe phases. I would say, and I also believe in sexual exploration. But be careful what you wish for. Be careful what you wish for. If you make sure you can handle it and understand that if you can't, then you better be ready for what's coming at you, which could be a child. Be smart about it. Yeah. Like, if you don't want to, if you have a vision of goals and you actually know some goals you want for your life, and you're not one of those women that are like, no, I'd be completely fine if I got pregnant. Fine, then do you. But just understand, if you have goals for yourself, protect your ass. Like, have that conversation. Yeah, you may not always reach for the condom, but, you know, just be smart about it. Be safe and be smart, because it's bit me in the ass for sure. And nothing can, you can probably agree with this, nothing can stop a determined woman. And if she wants to go and fuck around and have as many dicks as she wants, or vaginas, or whatever you're into, she's gonna do it.
Yeah, you can't control these fishes.
No one can control me. No one still can control me at 40. So, you know, and like, what a, like, I think this was also a volatile time for my mother and I, because she knew I was a hoe. Like, she did not hide that. She did not.
My daughter's a hoe.
I would come home when I was like the double whammy hoe phase, when I lost everything and moved back to Michigan from Vegas. I was drunk all the time. I was partying. I had friends driving me home. I was so drunk. And my mom would sit there and scream at me like she knew what I was doing. Or if I would, this is how bad my mom was. I'd be coming home at like 5 a.m. thinking she was asleep, and she'd be sitting on the couch in the living room waiting for me. And she'd be like, oh, you're home late. You know, like that passive shit. Like, where were you? Oh, you know, I fell asleep on so-and-so, you know, my girlfriend's couch, like, you know, my friend's couch. You know, she knew. She knew her daughter was a hoe at that time.
Oh, man. Oh, my God. That'd be my biggest fear of daughters, too.
Yeah. Yeah, because you can. It's like the generations that, you know, in the last few years that we hear about what's happening in middle school, and like the kids having sex and getting pregnant at 15, and like all these different, like, it's out there. You're not going to stop the curiosity. You're not going to stop the self exploration, the sex exploration. All you can do is be a supportive, I think, guardian or parent, whatever you may be in that kid's life or teen's life, and understand that you can try to control them. You can try to stop them. But when they want to explore and get curious, they're gonna. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm still at 40, and I know you're in a different chapter of your life, but I'm still trying to ask myself right now in my life, I still don't want to get married. I still don't know if being in a committed relationship is my thing. I think about it sometimes, but I'm also not going to get out here and be a hoe. Like, I this chapter of my life that I've been currently in, I said this to myself today, is not a chapter of sex for Amber. Mm. And I've been in chapters like this before, and I'm fine with it because I got other focuses on, you know.
I like that. Wow. Y'all hear that, man? Sorry.
But look, no, there's a but.
What's the but?
It's just because it hasn't presented itself. If something presents itself, that might be, you know, a different situation. But it would have to. It's going to be different. Like, I'm just grown. I'm evolved. I'm healed, but I'm still working on myself. You know, I'm now taking all the mistakes I made and applying it to, well, you can still want to have fun or have companionships, but it's gonna be different than the shit shows that you had in the past.
I like it. Is more of a connection, you would say, this time, or
more of a connection, but present. But the transparency that I'm still uncertain if I want to go 100% all in, like in a committed relationship.
Sure.
But if you're cool with that, then let's just hang out and have a good time. And we want to talk business or we want to talk life. Well, there has to be deep. It has to be a deep connection for me. Like I can't just talk surface, like just sports and the weather. Like, you know, there has to be meaningful conversations.
No shallow conversations. I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where you and I both, you know, value, you know, we're intellectual. So like, you got to stimulate my mind too. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, definitely. Definitely. I can believe it, but I can't. Like, we're at 59 minutes right now, and I don't know if we're going to get cut off. So if we do, thank you. It's still going. The clock's still ticking. So we're now officially at 60 minutes. And this has been more than what I set the intentions to be. So I really thank you for your transparency, your vulnerability, allowing me to kind of I think I spoke more of this episode than you did, because sex, like I said, has been such a huge part of my life that has actually been kind of what is kind of been a secret to me, because I don't think you need to share that. And I think that's a lot of times with celebrities when they're out there talking about their sex life because they feel like they have to explain it. You don't have to explain it to nobody.
Not for sure.
And so I think that I have a wealth of knowledge when it comes to sex, but I also just feel like if you're safe and smart, then explore.
I agree 100%. And I think it's only rightfully so, because like, I think, you know how with a vehicle you do Carfax?
Yeah.
I think it's rightfully so for a person to get someone's whole facts. You know what I'm saying? Because like, let me decide how I want to deal with you, because depending on where I'm at in my life, I want to know, like, where you at. Like you said, you're free to do whatever you want. But if you still want to, depending on where that man is at, but let's say I want to settle down a little bit more and I'm out of that game stuff myself. And I find somebody that, like, is maybe still a little conflicted, but they really don't want to express their past or their, you know, cravings of their sexuality and still want to explore or not more. I might not be open to that with having a woman like that and feeling that, you know, I go to a networking event and three dudes in there and smashed you. I don't make me feel good. You know what I'm saying?
And but that's just a luck of the draw, though. You didn't plan that.
Just shut up.
I mean, you come on. Women have to face that, too. When you walk into a room and you're like, man, how many women in here did you fuck?
Man, though. What? Society geared for masculinity to have conquered women, and it's almost like praise about. It's like that
elephant double standard.
It's double standard. It's like that elephant in the room. You know, it's like, yes, of course, men want to conquer all the women that they can, but he doesn't want his woman to be the one that has been conquered by many men. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Like, I've had a man tell me that.
No, but it's real. If we're going to be transparent and really want to know the psyche of the male mind of a real man and what he really desires in that true marriage or that deep type of committed relationship, I want to feel that, you know, because it's kind of haunting of the women that we've conquered. I don't want to think about a bunch of other men, what I've done to women, and men have done that to you. Yes, it's double standard, but it's like, I don't want to think about that though. You know, but if I love you enough, at least give me the choice of deciding that, you know, I accept this from you. That's your past. I got a past too. I get it. I love you. You know, I want to build something with you. Let's move on. Mm-hmm. Or it's like, it's hunting me. I can't do it. But let me smell it.
It's haunting me. Oh my God. That's you know, but thank you for that, because I've never thought about, I mean, yeah, I had a man tell me that, like, I don't want to walk in a room and then, like, you know, you've slept with that guy or they know you're a hoe, then how's that going to make me look? Like, you know, all that shit.
I mean, but, if you want to be Madonna, do your thing, but I don't want to marry Madonna.
I want to smash Madonna, but I don't want to marry Madonna.
But this is where I will say, honest, and this is honest, I kind of, and I don't know if this is twisted of me, but it's the truth. I actually appreciate a man who's been around, like who's had a lot of sexual conquests.
Oh, say it.
Yes. Because I know you're going to know how to have an adventurous sex life, and that you go out. It's like that phrase, go out there and sow your wild oats. Go sow. Go like create. Go draw. Go paint your oats. I don't know. Do whatever. But be mature. Like, I want you to come to me like mature. Like, let's talk about it. Like, yeah, I've done this. I've tried this, or, you know, but you're not going to be the toxic masculine. You're going to be like, yeah, I've hit a lot. My number's high. I would not judge a man if he was like, oh, this is, as long as you don't have any STDs.
Right.
You know, I don't care what your number was. Why do I care? That was your chapters of life. That was your life experience. Just like, you know, my sexual conquests. Mm-hmm. And then we now co-create together in the bedroom.
Man, oh, thank you for saying this. I hope we can clip that part and like post that somewhere else too, because I think like that. And it's like, when you say it like that, and again, I agree with you 100%. So it's like, I feel personally that it's 1,000 times harder for a man to please a woman than it is for a woman to please a man. We're so easily pleased, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Males are so easily pleased. So yes, I think a young buck, needs to go out there and get as much experience as he can as possible. I don't feel the same about that woman, because like, to a certain degree, you know what I'm saying? You know, depending on how she wants to live, you know, she want to do a Madonna thing, do your thing. No judgment, baby, no judgment. But if mm-hmm. you are looking for, you know, that type of, you want that committed relationship, like she needs to think about those things. But as a male, I look at it as, okay, that woman doesn't need all that experience because she needs to know her body. I'd rather her explore her own body and learn communication skills to express to her mate of how she likes to be pleased. You get what I'm saying? And when she can communicate that to that male, now they both can have that magical sex. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But she can smash 1,000 dudes and they all everybody gonna want to hit it from the back, this, that, the traditional type stuff. You know what I'm saying? Every now and mm-hmm. then you get a little crazy, but older we get, a little more stale, boring we get to a certain degree. You know, so like we got to spice it up and communicate a little bit more. So I truly feel that women definitely need to practice that communication skills in the bedroom of expressing to their male of what stimulates them. You know, I mean, I'm weird. Like, I know back in the day, like, I used to like to watch my lady masturbate because I see how she touches herself.
Right.
Doing stuff, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But I'm always open-minded like that because I'm like, I don't know. Like, you are born in your body and you know your body. You know what I'm saying? And like, if I can watch and you can teach and tell me, then, you know, I can do my best.
But I want to touch on this before we wrap it up. That's a whole thing too. It's much easier for a man to reach that level of climax and release himself.
Y'all bust faster, bro. Lower, go to sleep.
But like, we have a roadmap. It's a little more complex. You could get lost. You could take a detour. You could not ever get to the destination. And I think that movies and music have glorified that like all you got to do is just slide it in and oh my god, she's gonna start, you know, like having an orgasm. No, I can tell you firsthand, I am very like, it's, I am not alone. There are a lot of women's bodies that it's not as easy to have orgasm through sex, which is why you do have to find someone that you have that time to like communicate and massage it and like build a nice connection so you can figure it out together. And I think, honestly, that's what I'm looking for, now that I say that out loud. Like, I've done that, you know, hoe phase. I've done the. I want us together to reach the most point of pleasure together.
I like that. I like
that. That's work I'm willing to put in. Like, that's fun, hard work.
I feel like I'm burnt out of all that.
I know.
I ain't never gonna lie to you. Like, I'm burnt out. I'm just like, yo, you got your toy? Like, let me.
Oh my God, no.
Watch you. You know. You get your toy. You got. You good? Bet. All right, let's go to sleep, baby.
Right. But that's also your day to day life. Your work, how many things are you balancing? Do you have kids in the equation? You know, like, I think that adds to it too. But like, no, don't you dare get lazy in that area. Otherwise, we're just roommates.
Ooh, damn. I like that.
I'm like, nope. I like that. And I think that's probably why I've avoided commitment, because I always hear that's usually the first to go.
Ooh, I like that. Let me, ooh, damn.
So, all right, we're at 70 minutes.
Yo,
so.
No,
we may need. You know what? We'll have a part two when we talk about the open relationship conversation.
Man.
We'll tease that. If we choose to walk down that path of exploration on an episode, we'll do more on this. But I think this is a good place to put a pin in it. You know, like, we're gonna. What'd you say?
I got one more. I think it might get
okay.
Juicy.
All right, go ahead.
We're talking about the power of sex. You know what I'm saying? Like, because a lot of times I don't even think women be knowing the power that they have. You know,
true.
Like, how do I say this? I feel like my high school life activity affected me in a negative way as I aged, because I was overly stimulated in different ways. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. A lot of shit's going to me right now. In a different type of way. So it's not that I don't be wanting or something like that or craving or anything, but like now I just be like, I'm out the phase of like, man, I feel like I spent like a decade, like in my 20s, and trying to please women and, you know, getting them to come and this, that, et cetera, figuring them out, da 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 da. Then I start realizing, like, man, these fishes don't be doing nothing, though. That's her. I'm about to just lay here. Let me see what y'all... You know what I'm saying? Like, let me see something that be clear to me. You get what I'm saying? So, like, I don't know if this is a dick rebellion, but this, you know, I've been feeling... You know,
a dick rebellion, you just... That's hilarious.
Man, yo, in my 30s, like, man, my old homeboy, you know, I used to talk to him like that about this shit. I was just like, man... Like, these chicks, though, like, we always are geared to try to, like, show them what we can do and try to please them. Like, yo, a woman is so hard to please anyways. And I'm just like, all right, she already can go a long, lot longer than I can. Let me see her creativity, though. Like, I'm just saying, like.
Yeah. But a lot of women don't. A lot of women have an agenda attached to it.
Exactly.
I don't, which is why I think I'm still at that. And I hope to always be, if I'm real honest, that I always want to make time for it. I always want it to be fun. I want it to be creative. I want it to be pleasurable. I don't want it to be a fucking chore.
Nah, for sure. And I don't think it's that. I mean, I'm a dude. Like, I feel like I'm almost at the point now, like, I feel good. How do I say this? I'm such a dominating person by nature.
Yes. Okay?
I heard women that are like CEOs and bosses have this type of mindset too. They want, you know, a man that can dominate them because they're always the dominator in society.
Yes.
You feel me? So it's weird. Like, I be wanting to feel dominated sometimes too. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Grab that dick and do what you're going to do.
I think it's a balance because, yes, I'm not a CEO of a company, but I'm always, when I tell you always, whether it's on public transportation, whether it's in a work environment, whether it's at the bank doing, I just naturally walk in my masculine energy on the world, probably because I'm a woman. And it's this like protective shield that I have, like, don't fuck with me. You know, it's why I don't care walking by myself at night. Because
you.
It's like, I'm not going to be out here living in fear because I may get raped. So I can't walk around the city at night by myself. Am I going to go walk in the middle of the woods where you hear stories? No, but I'm going to walk down like in a place where it's like, oh, well, I don't know. You should. But I think it's a balance because as much because I can agree with that. I like that's the only time I really like a man to lead for like 100% of the time. You know, like I want to lead my own life financially, but I want you to lead in the bedroom. However, I like when you also enjoy that. I want to take the lead and I want to tell you what feels good, or I want to know what you like, or, you know, and you
not all the time, not all the time.
Yeah. But you have to be able to, it's role reversal.
Yes. I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
Like that. You know, that's hard for a lot of women to do though, because they're so used to being always initiated and not taking a lead on that. You know what I'm saying?
And I think too, it's also being afraid of the power you hold with your sexuality.
Yeah.
You know, like to oh, I can't do that. I can't dirty talk. Oh shit. I think that's what's kept me in soul ties because I'm such a good communicator that I could tap into the shadow side and I can really do that dirty talk. I can get real descriptive.
Oh my gosh. I told you I was going to get a little spicy at the end. I'm sorry. That was
So that's a good place to wrap it up, literally and figuratively.
Right, exactly. I gotta wrap it up.
Well, I really enjoyed this episode. Thank you for joining me, you know, and have these meeting of the minds, especially in relationships, because they don't always have to be toxic. They can be fun and explorative. Definitely. You know, you can want different things. You can want your relationship to not be traditional. It's just, can you mentally handle it? Ooh. Both parties or triple parties, whatever you're into, you know, or quadruple. Fuck, I don't know. I mean, shit. But, but whatever you're into, can you mentally handle it? Or are you going to unravel from the inside out?
I like that. Leading into our next podcast.
Yes.
Open relationships.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So thank you. Appreciate you joining me. And until next time.
Yes. Thank you, Emma. I appreciate you as well.
Did I not tell you in the beginning that we were going for it? And I do feel that freedom of expression and being vulnerable and soul sharing with other people is pretty damn cathartic. So I hope you grab some gems from this episode and really think about your own life. You know, nobody has all the answers. We're all doing the best that we can. But when other people are involved, are we showing up as our best self? So until next time, be kind to yourself and be kind to others. Peace.